Thank you very much. It is a privilege. I want to thank the Apostolic Church in America for giving me this opportunity on third Sunday to minister here.
Yes.
I really don't take it for granted. I sat there and Pastor Henry almost began to preach. It's something that the Lord just kind of burst forth in our spirit as we sat down. The word of the Lord is, it says, nations are nervous.
Yes.
Right now.
Yes.
Governments can't trust one another. Mm-hmm. But he says that I am the Lord God. I can be trusted.
Yes.
Says if you put your trust in him, you will never ever be disappointed.
No.
He says, I'm a great God.
Yes.
And I'm a holy God.
Yes.
And my name is to be greatly praised.
Praise God. Praise God.
Father, we thank you for your word.
Yes.
Lord God, we know of your occupying presence. This morning, we desire your revealed presence.
Yes, Lord.
Because you know when your presence is revealed, Father, that things will never be the same.
No.
None of us can be the same when your presence is revealed. God has said, thank you for each mind and each heart that is present this morning.
Yes.
Pray, O God Almighty, that your presence would sweep over our souls. The Lord God Almighty, whatever power exists,
yes,
to oppose, you will bring them to their knees. We thank you that you have given us the victory.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
The scripture read this morning, and yes, Pastor Henry, there is a spiritual war that is at hand. We are, yes, in a spiritual war.
Yes.
And I think we get the understanding when we read the Bible and we read it properly that there is a battle going on in the heavenlies. In the book of Daniel in chapter 10, Daniel gives us an insight. Actually, that chapter gives us a great insight into some spiritual warfare that was taking place. Daniel said he was in mourning for 3 weeks,
yes,
fasting and praying.
Yes.
And he wasn't getting an answer at all. But then the angel Gabriel came, and the angel Gabriel gave him understanding.
Yeah.
And he says, from the first day that you set your mind,
yeah,
to pray,
yeah,
asking of understanding and being humbled in the presence of God, that your prayers were heard and answered.
Yeah.
And that I was sent to bring the answer to your prayer.
Yes.
But he says that the prince of Persia,
yes,
opposed it.
Yes.
And there was a war going on in the heavens,
yes,
between Gabriel and the prince of Persia.
Yes,
and Gabriel was stuck for 21 days fighting,
yes,
the prince of Persia. Prince of Persia is not a person, but it is a demon. It is a satanic power, a ruling power over a region, the great region of Persia.
Yes.
And so for 21 days they were engaged in fight. But then the archangel, the chief angel, the mighty battle angel, was released from heaven to help for Gabriel. So he said, help. This is Daniel asking for help.
Yes.
Angel came, and a mighty angel came to help another angel.
Yes. Yes.
And what the chapter 10 gave us an idea of our mindset in, yes, of the spiritual warfare.
Yes.
But here's what happened. Michael took on the challenge and was fighting the prince of Persia.
Yes.
Why he allowed Gabriel to go to Daniel,
yes,
to give him the answer.
Yes.
When we read that chapter further on, it says that Gabriel said to Daniel, he said, listen, I'm going to leave now because I have to go back on the prince of Persia to fight and keep fighting. He went to the back to the archangel Michael.
Yes.
And he says that, he says that in the last verse, I think he says, we will reveal it by the truth of scripture to you. But that it gives us an understanding that warfare is real. But listen, it's nothing to be afraid of. Somebody says not to be afraid of. Warfare is real, but it's nothing to be afraid of. Because God is, the scripture tells us, like Pastor Henry said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. So there's a war going on in the heavenly. Everything that you see here upon earth is a reflection of what has already taken place in heaven.
Yes, sir.
Every act of evil that is being committed upon earth
is
something that is being enforced in the heavenly realm. Somebody bless the Lord. So it is not strange that we encounter struggle. It's not strange that we encounter difficulties. It is not strange that we might feel lethargic in our body, but as Jesus said to his disciples, he said, the body is weak, but the flesh is weak, but the spirit is strong. Right? So there's a challenge that's going on, there's a battle that's going on. But today I want us to have the assurance and the confidence that this is not strange. And God wants us to be engaged in it. So my title today, I'm using this as a title, Preparing the Church to Exercise Dominion.
Yeah.
What we do, we are preparing the church. You and I say, I am the church.
Yeah,
we are the church. We have been prepared to exercise dominion. And we're not waiting for a time for them to exercise dominion. We're exercising dominion right now. Amen? We're exercising dominion right now. So in the scripture that was read in the first, dominion, first of all, dominion is imposing a kingdom rulership upon earth. Heavenly rulership upon earth. In the prayer, Jesus says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done upon in earth as it is in heaven. So dominion is taking rulership. Dominion is where you have the authority and you exercise sovereignty and rulership over a region or over, and especially over our mind, our own life. So that's, in a nutshell, is dominion. And spiritual dominion means that we have been given, God given authority to take charge and to rule. God didn't save us just to sit. God didn't save us to be in battle and be losing battles. God saved us so that we may exercise dominion authority wherever we go.
Mm-hmm.
Because the earth needs to know that there is a power that is greater than any other power.
Mm-hmm.
And that power comes through Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He's the mediator. He's the middleman. And you can't cut out the middleman. You have to go through the middleman. That's who we have to go through, Jesus Christ. So we must exercise proper responsibility and stewardship of everything that God has given us to have dominion. Exercise proper responsibility and stewardship over how we think, over what we do, to become, to be in the place where we can exercise dominion over things. So we're going to look at something here in this verse 10, chapter 10, because the Apostle Paul was addressing something. The church and members of the church were questioning his legitimate authority as an apostle.
Yes.
They're questioning whether he had, he was a real apostle. Some were saying, you're just a regular man.
Yes.
And Paul addressed this, and he addressed it, first of all, he addressed what we call the two components of the human existence.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I am, let's look at verse 1, for though we walk in the flesh,
yes,
that's saying, yes, I am a man.
Yes.
I am a man that is born with flesh and blood.
Mm-hmm.
That's one component. And so he said, yes, I am a man. I am natural, a natural man. And then he went for this was just the spiritual side of it. So they were questioning his authority.
Yes.
Has anyone ever questioned your integrity?
Yes.
Or questioned whether you're a Christian?
Yes.
Or made you to feel as if you're beneath them, less than them, less than who God has made you to be? So it's almost like that. So it's questioning it that. On the surface, we might think that just human beings are being issues. But behind the scenes, we have to recognize that this is what spiritual warfare. And you just don't take it lightly. You need to be able to address it in the spiritual at a spiritual level. So a story for you. In 1997, I was in business as a task preparer. So in 1997, I'd done a marketing campaign doing flyers and just sending it out and so on. And I got a client that I probably told you the story before. I got a new client. And the client was not of my skin color, the client was white. And so she came in the office with and here, you know, I am somebody kind of a mindset. And so she sat before me, you know, you could see the pretensions and all of that. And she, I'm talking to her, just asking her questions, you know, you get a client, you make them feel comfortable, you ask questions, and look at her paperwork and so forth. And, you know, I started questioning her about, like, your family life and so on, you know. Do you have anyone to claim and so on and so forth. And she, it's good for a lot of people to talk. Because
yeah.
They talk and they let you know, you kind of see where they are.
Yeah.
You get to know their journey and their history. And so she said to me that she doesn't have any children. And she's disappointed with her family. That everyone that she has depended upon has kind of failed.
Mm-hmm.
She said, okay, she has family in California. She explained to me she had land, a house in Puerto Rico. But there was this thing about her that says, I am better than you. So I took her document and said, okay, you come back tomorrow, around about this time, you know, you think your tax return was already. On my way home, I decided, I said, Lord, give me a word for this lady. I'm driving, going home. I said, Lord, give me a word for this lady.
Yeah.
And in the moment of me going through that and asking for a word, the name Eastern Airlines came up in my spirit. I kind of pondered, but I went on and asking for a word still and so forth. So the next day she came, and I started to talk again and, you know, about, you know, I started, now it's my time now to evangelize. To tell her or find out what her relationship is with Jesus. So she said to me, she said, everything that I've depended upon has failed. Everything that has failed. The moment she said this, boom, Eastern Airlines came up to me and said, you used to work for Eastern Airlines.
Yeah.
She said, oh, you know that? I said, Lord, reveal it to me. She said, after all that you guys have gone through, black, everything you have gone through in life, I'm surprised that I marvel at how you guys still believe in this God, in this Jesus. But that's when I just asked for a word. So warfare was taking place. I asked the Lord for to give me a word for her. And that word broke down the barrier where she started to talk and talk about life and so forth. Don't tell me that spiritual warfare doesn't exist. But at the surface, The day before, you would have think it's a human-to-human kind of issue.
Yeah.
But it's not that. It's always spiritual warfare taking place in the heavens.
Yeah.
What people say to you is more than just what they say to you.
Yeah.
And we need to be able to be conscious of that. So he talks about these two parts of human existence. He says, for though we walk in the flesh, yes, I'm a human being. Yes, I was born flesh and blood. But he says this to them, he says, though that is true, we do not war after the flesh.
No.
Our weapons, we do not war according to how this is the fleshly mindset. Because there's a spiritual side to us. There's a spiritual dimension to us. And so we need to be able to focus and understand that yes, there's a flesh side. But there's a spiritual dimension which is far more powerful, it's far more impacting, and it's far more relevant. The Bible says that if we sow to the flesh, we'll reap corruption. In Galatians 6, 7-8. But if we sow to the spirit, we'll reap eternal life, life everlasting. So we are called to feed the spirit more than we feed the flesh. The flesh has appetite, and this is good for you when you're fasting. It's to recognize all of the appetites of the flesh. The flesh has appetite, and so in fasting, fasting is about denying all the cravings of the flesh to feed the spirit man. Somebody praise the Lord. And so when you understand the human component, and just going to do a quick thing, we have the appetite of the eyes. That has to be brought under subjection. We have the appetite of the ears, what we hear. In this fasting, we have to do in just a spiritual warfare. You have the appetite of the nose when you're fasting. That smells good. So that has to be brought under subjection. You have the appetite of the stomach, the mouth and the stomach. It needs food. You also have the appetite of the mind. The mind is extremely important and relevant. So all of those are part of the spiritual struggles and battles that we go through. So he raises the question, he says, the weapon is the solution. He says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We have physical appetite. Appetite for relationship. So when we fast, all of those areas have to be addressed. So the apostle says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. In other words, we don't use physical, earthly, man-made weapons. But we use spiritual weapons. And spiritual weapons are mighty to God, to the pulling down of strongholds. And yes, on the surface, it seemed like Paul and the Corinthian church was just going through and having a battle, word for word and all of that stuff. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Mm-hmm. Be careful not to look at things only with your natural eyes and mind. Because there's more to this.
Yeah.
Can you say there's more to this?
There's more to this.
So don't look at issues from the natural mind. You have human reasoning that it would oppose the word of God. The weapons are not physical, but they're spiritual. In verse 4, it says, for the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. Means that we are supposed to, we who have weapons. The question is, do we use them?
Yes.
Right? The question is, how often do we use them? Do we use the weapons that has been given to us? Here is also the carnal weapons that the enemy used against us.
Yes.
Human reasoning.
Yes.
Like to reason things out.
Yes, sir.
Bring false arguments. Those are strongholds. False doctrine. Strongholds.
Yes,
imaginations are strongholds. Well, we're going to get to that. And pretensions and so forth. So, we have weapons. It's identifying the weapon and using it. The word of a way of saying, you know, when they have their guns, they say, we're packing heat.
Yeah.
They say, we're packing heat today, meaning we have our weapon. But we pack the word. When you say, I pack the word, I pack the word. I carry the word. Not our weapon. I pack the word. You pack the word. That's what we're supposed to be doing, packing the word. Would you say that one more time? I pack the word. Thy word, O Lord, of my evening mind, that I would not sin. You pack the word. Thy word, O God, is a lamp unto my You got the word. That word, oh God Almighty, is sure and true. You got the word. We got the word. The word of the Lord is quick and powerful, and that is, you're packing the word, and you're doing what here right now. You're packing the word. Jesus said, sanctify them with thy truth. Thy word is truth. You're packing the word. You're packing the word. So we don't pack keys, so to speak, but our word is fire tool. Our word is a fire tool. Spirit and life. We're sparking spirit and life. We're sparking a fire that is different from carnal earthly fire. We're sparking fire from heaven. We're sparking the word. Somebody bless today. We're fighting spiritual battles. And can I say this, that the mind is grown zero for the spiritual battle.
Yes, sir.
The mind is wrong. This is where the battle takes place. It's wrong with people.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And that's where we need to get the victory.
Yes, sir.
Because the mind deals with our thoughts, our perception, our memory.
Yes, sir.
The mind also deals with our awareness. You know, the mind, it deals with our awareness. And the mind is that which, to which we think and we feel and we perceive. We remember through it. And we should have, here's how you fight, Father, this is a training. Here's how you also fight spiritual warfare. Every one of us should have a collection of scripture in our belly, ready at any point in time to speak it out, just like you are doing just right now. And the more you practice it, the more it comes up quicker and quicker and easier. Every one of us should also have songs of praise and songs of worship and songs of redemption and songs of warfare that will just bring us out of our belly in any situation. Somebody praise his name.
This is wonderful.
So those are some of our weapons that we have. And I want to say, don't be discouraged by what you don't know. I want you to be encouraged this morning by what you already know and have in your belly. Somebody bless the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
And every thought, we said, you must take every thought captive. In other words, make the thought your prisoner. You don't become a prisoner of the thought. And Jesus said it was anointed to set captive. See, you know the word. You're packed in the word. And that's what we need to keep loading up on the word. Yes, come to set captive free. So make that your thought your prisoner. You don't become a prisoner of your thought. Because that's where we lose, we start losing the battle. Adam and Eve did, God said, the enemy uses suggestions and lies because he wants us to be able to, his desire is to bring fear and unbelief. So, but a simple example for us in terms of taking thought captive. The thought of not wanting to get out of bed to come to church. I'm glad to hear that means you had victory today. You know, you don't realize that you're fighting spiritual warfare. But you were fighting spiritual warfare, and thank God you got the victory. Somebody bless his name. Thank God for the victory.
Amen.
So it's a simple example of fighting spiritual warfare, and you really didn't even know that you're fighting spiritual warfare. So the mind is a major battleground, and we must address our belief system, because we're getting belief from every which way you know, every angle you know. So we fight our belief system, we must constantly check it. From which source are we feeding our mind and belief system? What do we use to feed our mind and belief system? Old wives tale. My grandmother said. My Jamaican culture said. My American culture said. What about this, the word?
Yes.
This is the only sure thing. Thy word is true, O Lord, concerning all things. This is the only true thing that will help us to be victorious in spiritual warfare. Not what they said. There's some things that they have said which we know now is not so. But here's the thing, why are you still holding on to them if they're not so?
Yes.
Why are you still repeating them if they are not effective?
Yes.
We need to use the word.
Yes.
So in verse, and like what the apostle says in verse 5, cast in the imagination. Yeah, what he says, do not give a place of prominence. This is how you cast down imagination. You don't give it a place of prominence. You reject it. Right? Don't let it occupy your thoughts.
Yes.
Don't let it keep riding in you. Don't give it a place of prominence. Reject it. So you cast it down imagination. This is like a threefold approach to being victorious spiritually. You cast down imagination, it says in verse 5, casting down imagination and every eye thing. Casting down eye thing. Imaginations are the mind. Eye things are like philosophies and ideologies and all of the isms and things that the world brings. You reject them. Don't allow them to manifest in your life.
Yeah.
You cast them down. So you must discipline and gain control over the mind and thought. That's fighting spiritual warfare. Somebody say amen. The enemy uses lies and suggestions that generate fear and unbelief. But God said, what? I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. You know what God is saying? I have not put conflict in your mind. Right? I have not put conflict in your mind. So what we should do is make our mind a zero conflict zone. You know, my mind is off limits to conflict. When conflict comes, I address it as quickly as I can, But it's not going to stay and occupy my mind and my thoughts. Don't go to bed 10 days straight with the same thing occupying your mind and your thoughts, when you can cast it down, bring it to the Father, and allow Him to transform and to do that which He needs to be able to do. I think that the God itself against the knowledge of God are like false ideas about God and false teachings, false doctrine, and false reasoning. And I think here what they do, the intention of I think when they come is to destroy your fellowship and communion with God.
Yes.
It is to destroy your fellowship and communion with God. Here's how the function in spiritual warfare. Just in the natural warfare, we just saw one place before our eyes in Venezuela. Same thing in Iraq and so on, for example. In spiritual warfare, the aim is that the enemy is going to come to destroy and corrupt your communication between you and your God. In the natural war, they make sure they go after every communication system. Jam it, shut it down, that their aircraft cannot free fly into that area to seize and take control. Same thing in spiritual warfare. The enemy jammed our mind with nonsense. Keep us away from the word. Keep us from believing God's word. When you can't pray, when you don't want to read the word, know that there's an enemy at work jamming the communication between you and your God. Because his intent is to what? Steal, kill, and
Lord.
Hallelujah. So that's the enemy's work at us. The enemy will want you to believe that you are sick, you can't get healed. But the blood of Jesus prevails. The name of the Lord is a strong power. The enemy wants us to feel as if it will always be like this.
Yes.
But the blood of Jesus prevails. Somebody bless his name. So he wants to jam the communication system, so to speak, to shut it down. He wants to shut down your praise. He wants to shut down your Bible study reading. He wants to shut down your prayer life. And if he can shut down all three, you're in deep trouble. You need spiritual help.
Yes, sir.
You probably need Archangel Michael to come to your help.
Yes.
But God is able, and God doesn't want us to get frustrated by our afraid of spiritual warfare.
Yes.
We were born for spiritual warfare. When we got born again, we chose a certain side, and we became a target of the devil.
Yes.
And he will always target us.
Yes.
But the Bible gives us comfort. It says, put on the whole armor of God. That we have to be able to stand. It says, there's a large field of going on. That's what it says. And it's an argument from us. But it says, put on the whole armor that you may be able to stand in the evil days. There are evil days. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. There are evil days. But we stand in the name of Jesus. We don't get discouraged. We don't get discouraged. We might fall for one time, seven times, but we do not get back up in the name of Jesus. So there's conflict going on. And like it was down. Verse 6 says. If I got to get to closing.
Yeah.
It says, stand and having in readiness to prevent all disobedience. Having in readiness to obey all disobedience. Let me go back up a little before I get to that. It's still in verse 5. We're looking at
exalt yourself against the knowledge of God. Mm-hmm. Let your chastity be every thought to
be
obedient of Christ.
To the obedience of Christ. Yeah. Human pride and self-sufficiency is a high thing that exalts itself against God. Pride is a high thing that we need to cast off. And every one of us has pride in us. Either you need to get into certain situations that you really begin to see what you've been made of. That it is a weapon that the enemy uses.
Yes.
So human pride and self-sufficiency is I think that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. God says, listen, I put down the proud, but I exalt the humble. Right? Self-righteousness is another I think that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. But there's none righteous. No, not one. And it exalts itself against the knowledge of God. But in a life of Philippians 4:8 talks about, tells us how to be able to deal with the challenges of the mind. And I saw the Apostle Paul put it, and he talked about whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think. You know what he said? Keep filling your mind. That's part of what I say, you're packing the world. Somebody prayed this. We're packing the world. And we are called to pack the world in. Whenever you get a chance, just bring up a word. If you're going to a place, just bring up a word. Nobody might even know you're bringing up a word, but you walk in and you're saying, the Lord is mighty today. The God is great. The God that I serve is great. Just bring up a word. So, but remember is that we do not give a place of prominence to the thought. You don't have to give a place of prominence to them. Years ago, he got told in the story as well, it's another tax client where I did something for him. And the man who everyone was a significant, for me, being for a significant amount of money. And so he was a good friend. We called him a good friend. His son had cancer, and we prayed and so on. His wife came and introduced his wife and so on. And the man just left town and didn't even pay me or didn't even let me know he was moving. And I got indignant and I started to send this name to the credit bureau and so on. And then all of a sudden I realized, this is nonsense. So I got my card. I wrote it to him and I said, listen, forgive me because I'm holding you in unforgiveness and so on. And I didn't get it back, you know, so obviously they forwarded it to him. Yeah, you know why I should do it? Because just the thought of him keeping out and not paying me, it kept occupying my mind every day. I wake up in the morning, mm-hmm. I remember he owed me this amount of money. I go to sleep, it's all that gone. So don't give it a place of prominence. Don't let it occupy your mind. It's so easy to cast down the imagination and so on, but we learn as we go through. So in this last verse, verse 6, it says, stand ready to deal with disobedience.
Yes, sir.
There's a conflict and a shaking that is taking place in the church.
Yes.
Just read the news. Read the news and you'll hear the stories of what's going on in the church. There's a conflict and a shaking that is taking place on global stage. Just read the news. Government wants to take over, other governments going to just like this. There's a conflict that's taking place.
Yes.
And it's a conflict that you know that's taking place in heaven and a shaking. Ephesians 2 tells us that there is warfare going on in the Ephesians 6, 12, that there's warfare going on in the heavens. So there's a conflict. But we are called to what? Watch and pray. You see the news, you pray. So if there's a shaking that has taken place, is taking place, there's an uneasiness that's taking place in America among the immigrant population. There's struggling among the immigrant population. And we are living in this society, and we have to be aware of it too. So, but here's a question that the psalmist raised as I get to close. He says, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? What he says regarding society, when societal structure breaks down,
yes.
When the moral structures break down, when justice in the land breaks down, when there is licentiousness, lawlessness all over the place, no one respecting law and order, when that breaks down, what can the righteous do? But I like what the psalmist response is. And because of that, I want you to turn to Psalm 11 for me. We're going to look at this. And this will bless you. Because we are not the only ones that are at a place sometimes where we get weary because of all that's happening around us. Psalm 11. And he starts off with a note of confidence in the Lord, put I my trust. Are you following that? He says, Psalm 11, in the Lord put I my trust. He says, oh, say you to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain. Now I trust in the Lord. Who are you to be telling me, flee as a bird to my mountain? He says, for Lord, the wicked, he's talking, he's telling us now what the issue is.
Yeah.
For Lord, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the stream, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. When you see all of that going on and the structural breakdown in every law and order, he says, if the foundation be destroyed, in other words, what can we do?
Yes.
What can the righteous do if the foundation be destroyed?
Yes,
but then it's like he got this vision of what is happening in the heavenly places where the fight is taking place. And it brought understanding and comfort and peace to him. Listen to what he says. The Lord is in his holy temple. Somebody bless the Lord. When you know that the Lord is in his holy temple, that the Lord's throne is in heaven, when you know that the Lord is in his holy temple,
yes.
That brings courage.
Yes.
It brings hope. It brings comfort and peace.
Yes.
So whatever situation you're going through, whatever God, the fire of God that the enemy is sent at you, just as the Lord is in his holy temple. Would you say that the Lord is in his holy temple? Would you say one more time, the Lord is in his holy temple? The Lord's throne is where? In heaven. Spiritual warfare are not. The Lord is in his holy temple. Here's what he says, if I behold, if I live, try the children of men. What he's saying is that God is watching. He knows. He approves and he disapproves. He brings down and he raises up. He cuts down and he heals up. The Lord has beheld and tried the children of men. It is approved and he approved. In other words, he said, God is in charge. God is in control. So that, yes, I can trust in him. I'm not going to worry about it. Then he said, verse 5, the Lord tryeth the righteous. Tempt the righteous. But the wicked and him that loveth violence is soul hated. Jesus is Lord. He said, upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of the exalt.
Yes,
in other words, what we're saying is that he has the final say.
Yes,
God has the final say. Somebody listen to me. God has the final say. And he says, for the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. What 2 Corinthians 10 and 6, go back to that, is saying to us. Turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6. What this particular verse is saying to us, having read all of that. And what he's saying to the church is this. You take care of your own disobedience first, then we can properly deal with them. You take care of your disobedience first. He says what? And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience, you'll be ready to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. In other words, make obedience your priority.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You make obedience your priority. And then you can deal with that. Because
yeah.
The Bible says, and I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. Now this is where I made my departure. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. First Peter chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. God is saying to the church, you take care, you make your obedience a priority. Verse 17 says, for the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begins at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous care to be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Listen to the church, prioritize your obedience. The rest will take care of itself. God bless you. Now, Father, I bless you for these your servants. Lord Jesus, will you just stand for me, please? Everybody stand. Lord, I bless you for your servant. I bless you, God Almighty, for warfare. I thank you, O God Almighty, that, Lord God, you are in charge. You have the final say. Thank you, O God Almighty, that there's no reason for us to be afraid, but to trust in you with all of our hearts and not lean to our own understanding.
Yes.
I pray, O God Almighty, that, Lord, if there's one person under the sound of my voice, now here on the conference line or in worldwide web land, that God, if they have not known you, that the Spirit would prick their heart to bring conviction and to convert them, that they may know the truth and recognize that, Lord God, they no longer have to be a slave of sin, that they no longer have to stay in the camp of the devil. But God Almighty, you're ready and willing to take them out of darkness and to bring them into your marvelous light. I bless you, Father, for the soul that will say, yes, I surrender. I bless you, O God, for those of us who know you, O God, and perhaps are engaged in serious warfare right now. Warfare in the mind, warfare of in the sickness in the body, warfare in relationship, warfare in our work and in our service. Warfare, O God, in trying to navigate all of the challenges of life. But I thank you that there's a word available for each of that in the name of Jesus. And I pray, God Almighty, of release of your anointing to break the yoke. I pray a release, O God, of your anointing, O God Almighty, to give them victory. I pray, O God, a release of your anointing, O God, to sustain them. And Lord, I just sent Michael, O God, to assist. Lord Jesus, the angel Gabriel, send assistance, O God, where it's needed in the name of Jesus. We look to you. We are looking to you, O God. You remind us at the start that you are a great God.
Yes.
Though the earth shakes,
yes.
Though governments are getting nervous, nations are getting nervous,
yes.
And governments are distrusting,
yes.
We can trust in you.
Yes.
You are God that can be trusted. And we put our trust in you.
Yes.
Lord God, we trust in you, O God.
Yes.
And we praise you, O God, for giving us the victory.
Yes.
No, Lord Jesus, every stronghold of our life, every opposition,
yes.
Every opposing power, every spiritual attack,
yes.
Every fiery dart, in the name of Jesus, we break them in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
God, we apply your blood this morning over the mind, oh God.
Yes.
We thank you for the covering, oh God, of the blood over our mind and over our thoughts.
Yes.
We thank you, oh God Almighty, that you anoint our feet, oh God Almighty.
Yes.
You are not your hands to war and our fingers to fight.
Yes.
God Almighty, you are not your tongue that we may decree and declare things, oh God. The psalmist says it's like the pen of a ready writer, Lord God, to decree things in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Thank you that you are in your heavenly throne. Thank you, God, that you are in your upon your throne in the heavenly places.
Yes.
The Lord is in his holy temple. God, I praise you, you're in your holy temple, oh God. I praise you, oh God. I praise you, oh God. You're in your holy temple. The righteous, oh God, will trust in you. And you will give us the victory. We give you praise and we give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name, somebody praise him and
praise
him.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Somebody on the conference line, would you praise him right now?
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Somebody praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise
the Lord. I sense the Spirit of God just hovering.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
The Spirit of God is hovering.
Hallelujah.
He said to Solomon, ask whatever
yes.
you will.
Yes.
And I pray that, Lord God, our answer will be as wise as Solomon's answer.
Yes.
Ecclesiastes says wisdom
yes.
is greater
yes.
than any weapon of war.
Yes. Yes.
I pray that the wisdom, God, give us the wisdom when we apply it.
Yes.
Because it's greater than the weapons of war.
Yes.
And it's the principal thing.
Yes.
So since the Spirit of God is operating, and so would you just bow your head and close your eyes and will you allow yourself to bask in his presence this morning?
Yes.
Will you allow yourself to recognize that he's in his holy temple?
Yes.
The Lord is holy.
Yes.
Will you surrender that thought right now?
Yes.
You have been carrying it for years, but today the Lord says
yes.
surrender. That thought that you have been battling repeatedly in the name of Jesus, would you release it for him today?
Yes.
That strong man that is over your life, would you say in the name of Jesus, not now, no more in the name of Jesus?
Hallelujah.
God has come to break yokes and to set chapter 3. I thank you, O God, for your revealed presence, O God, for the mighty things, the mighty works. Oh, God, we thank you, O God, almighty, O God. Lord, you promised to give us victory, O God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, we thank you, Father. May your presence, Lord God, just cover over us today. Those in on the conference line, may your presence just cover them today in the name of Jesus. And may your spirit reveal, O God Almighty, the path that needs to be taken, that needs to take place. We bless you, Father. We give you glory. We give you glory. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Come on, righteous, you run right into it.
Yes.
Salvation is in His presence.
Yes, Lord.
We give you glory, Lord.
We give you glory.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.